For decades, families have run livestock and grown alfalfa in the Reese River Valley on the western slopes of the Toyabe Range. While the river is now dry, much of the valley is still green, thanks to years of irrigating and developing the desert soil. Lee Hutchins energetically maneuvers his ATV as he finishes rounding up some of his Hereford cattle. Once finished, he cools off on his front deck, overlooking the hazy, hot valley. They're on their second cutting of alfalfa, he explains.
We're looking at a circle system, and that circle system irrigates 120 acres.
That water comes from ground wells, so he and his wife Diane were alarmed when they recently learned that oil and gas leases on much of the public land in the valley would soon be up for auction.
See that fence line right over there, approximately 200 feet? That's the drilling, one of the drilling areas right there, going across the complete backside of our property, wrapping around our neighbors and behind them.
An oil and gas lease doesn't guarantee that exploratory drilling will happen. A company still needs permits from the state and federal government. Still, the Hutchins had no clue this was even a possibility.
We could be suffering damages while they're trying to find out whether there's any oil through potential water contamination, possibly actual volume of water.
Hutchins makes it clear that so much is unknown to him about the regulations or the dangers of hydraulic fracturing, also known as fracking. The technique involves injecting a pressurized mixture of water, chemicals, and sand into the ground in order to release deposits of natural gas and oil. It's allowed companies to access shale in places like North Dakota and Pennsylvania, and requires lots of water.
The well that they're drilling is 8,000 to 10,000 to 15,000 feet deep. We're not producing out of shallow aquifers of 300, 400, 500 feet.
John Mangini is a petroleum engineer for the Bureau of Land Management. He says farmers' wells draw water from those shallow aquifers and shouldn't be impacted by fracking. Problems with water contamination only arise, he says, if the casings are inadequate or the wellbore is compromised.
And this casing is not light. This is anywhere from 30 pounds a foot to up to 54 pounds a foot.
If companies follow regulations, Mangini says contamination from fracking is not an issue. As for water usage, the state issues water rights, not the federal government. But attorney Glade Hall says why even issue these leases to explore for oil and gas if water is already in short supply?
We have a scarce resource now that's overtaxed and doesn't make any sense to bring in a new use that's going to take more water.
Hall is representing ranchers, including Lee Hutchins, in their lawsuit to block the sale of these leases. Their complaint cites over 1,000 instances of groundwater contamination across the country, as well as other environmental impacts. But in its environmental assessment, the Bureau of Land Management predicts leases will have minimal impact because, historically, Nevada has not been a major producer of oil. Hall says that's faulty logic.
Past success using conventional techniques is no indication of what's going to happen when they employ fracking and get into the Chainman Shale Formation in Nevada.
The Chainman Formation could have some of the richest deposits of shale in the country, according to a recent study from an economist at the University of Wyoming. The formation underlies portions of eastern and central Nevada, and in time could generate more than $1 billion. That's if drillers are able to tap into deposits anywhere from 10,000 to more than 20,000 feet underground. Chris Rose is with the Bureau of Land Management, or the BLM.
The oil and gas lease sale environmental assessment only covers the lease sale. Any additional actions once a company is successful in bidding would then require additional environmental analysis and documentation.
The BLM doesn't have the resources to do an on-the-ground environmental analysis for every parcel of land before leasing. Instead, they wait for a company to purchase the lease, submit an application to drill, and at that point, they'll do further environmental review. Even though the Chainman Shale Formation could prove lucrative, Rose says they don't mention it in their environmental assessment for this sale because it's really not their place to anticipate why a company wants certain land.
They don't necessarily have to disclose where they got the information or why they think oil might be there.
But back in Reese Valley, locals remain skeptical that their voice is being heard. The Andriolas own a farm just down the road from the Hutchins and are also trying to halt the sale. Sitting in his dining room, Paul Andriola pours over a color-coded map of the valley that shows all the land that could be leased.
And if you notice, all the white on this map, you can't see it very good, all this white is deeded ground. Why don't you see anything north? There's nothing. They picked all the populated areas where the wells are.
Nothing expressly prohibits drilling next to deeded land, and wells could be placed every 40 acres. Carlene Andriola also points out that regulators aren't required to do the more rigorous environmental review, known as an impact statement, before drilling. She believes all they've built is in jeopardy.
We started out here when we bought this property, all we had was one pivot and that shack out back. All of this land was desert.
Fracking hasn't yet proven itself in Nevada. State legislators haven't even adopted their final regulations. That will happen next year. It's hard to predict whether Nevada will see the same interest as some other western states. But by all accounts, this debate in the Reese River Valley is a prelude to a much larger one about the future of fracking in Nevada. Will Stone, Reno Public Radio News.